option to pick and choose what you want to believe. I'll go there. There are individuals that were upset with last week's message because it stepped on their toes on how they felt about something and not the truth. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but it is my obligation to lay out the truth. And if your feelings get hurt, you need to look at your feelings versus the truth and weigh the two. Amen. You need to look at the two and see what is real or not. Amen? I'm going to start with three scriptures that are not in the handout that you have. If you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write these down. The first scripture is Isaiah 33, verse 22. These are the biblical principles reflected in the U.S. Constitution. Let me say that again. These are the biblical principles that are reflected in the United States Constitution. Why are there biblical principles reflected in the United States Constitution? Because this country was founded on Christian values. It was founded on the Word of God. And Isaiah 33 verse 22 says, "For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." Listen to me. This was set forth, this scripture verse is what set forth the three distinct branches of our government. We have an executive branch of government, a legislative branch of government, and a judicial branch of government. We have a government that is the judge. We have a government that is a lawgiver, and we have a government that is king, the president of the United States of America. Do you hear what I'm saying? This was put in place, and it was put into three. See, God is one. God, sovereign Lord, he can do all these things, but man cannot. And so man was smart enough to know that, wow, we need to separate the branches of government so that not one individual acts as God. Do you hear what I'm saying? So that one individual wouldn't act as God, put in three branches. Now, any time that there is an executive order put into place, that totally nullifies what the judicial branch and the legislative branch is able to do, because the king then made a decision. And not all of it is fair, as we will see and look to in the future. The next one is Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And this was set into place. This is what gives the logic for the separation of powers. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Our founding forefathers knew this. Again, this is why we have multiple branches, so that not just one individual makes a decision. I think of Moses when his father-in-law was talking to him, Jethro, and he said, "What you're doing is not good," when Moses was trying to rule all the millions of Israelites that were freed from captivity. And he said, "What you need to do is get other people to help you out and be in power to rule." And so he did, and he set some over tens and over hundreds and over thousands so that he wasn't making all the decisions by himself. Even in battle, we were told to not go into battle by ourselves. The final one is Ezra 7:24, and this is the basis for tax exemption for the churches. I'm sure you guys want to hear that, but this is the reason. Ezra 7:24, the basis of biblical teaching in our Constitution. "Also, we certify you that touching any of the priests and the Levites, singers, porters, Nethiniums, or ministers, or this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them." And so we have a place of separation of church and state. But as I laid out last week, the separation of church and state was never put in there to separate the church from the state, but to protect the church from the state. And I laid out last week that as the state, as the church goes, the state will go because we are the majority, correct? We're still the majority in this country. But some are silent and some have feelings that they can't get over. There are people who have unforgiveness in their heart and anger, and they allow that to be the ruling authority versus the Word of God or the Spirit of God that is in them specifically. Last week's message was titled Not Anymore. This week's message is titled Take It Back. Take It Back. The church, who is the majority, needs to speak up. We need to do our part as a Christian, not as a person in the world, not as somebody who has feelings getting in the way, but as what you're obligated to do. Even if I thought that abortion was right, my God says no. Even if I thought same-sex marriage was right, my God says no. Either you believe in the Word or you do not. And we get caught up in grace. We are in the dispensation of grace. But God's grace is there to change a corrupt heart. Not to justify your corrupt heart. Does that make sense? Well, then be a little louder. Maybe you need some time to think about it. The church should be the tip of the moral spear in our fallen world. Get the point? Pun intended. Do you get the point? We should be leading the way in this country. The forefront, the forerunner. But instead, as a church, the majority in this country, the Christian in this country, we're trying to take it back. Because we allowed it to go. Because we are afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. Because we're afraid to step on somebody's toes. Because we don't want to be ridiculed. Or we don't want somebody to talk bad about us. Because we're then worried about our own feelings. But we have to allow that to get out of the way. I don't want my feelings hurt, guys. And I don't want your feelings hurt. But my gosh, at some point you got to stand up. At some point you got to be a voice. At some point, you got to say something. You don't have to justify every wrongdoing because you're afraid of the fight. Either we're the generation that will stand and fight or we're not. We must pierce the darkness. Separation of church and state last week. So that you have a voice, you need to know the Johnson Amendment, although not repealed, was opened up for the church to speak. To endorse from the pulpit or oppose from the pulpit a candidate. Because the church has been through. And now somebody would say, I said this last week, but somebody's going to say, politics does not belong in the pulpit. But you need to hear what I'm saying. If you're on Facebook, you're listening to this, share this. Continue to share these things. If politics can change the way you as a Christian live, then politics needs to be in the pulpit. Don't shut somebody down from the pulpit with your confusion of church and state, thinking that we have no right to speak the truth from the pulpit. This is the place the truth needs to get out. This is the place where the training is lifted up. This is the place where you know about moral absolutes and values. Amen. You're not being taught moral absolutes and values in school. They took the Ten Commandments off the walls in 1980 because it might hurt a few people's feelings. They stopped people from being allowed to have voluntary prayer in school in 1962 because it might hurt a few people's feelings. They're taking God out of the Pledge of Allegiance with the statement that it was never in there in the first place. But I'm here to tell you, it's been in there longer than it has not. If you do the math in the years. And let me ask you this. What does it hurt to have God in the Pledge of Allegiance. Not a thing. Matter of fact, if I'm asking God to bless this great nation that I live in, I think it's a good thing. But I have pastors argue with me. They say, well, it was never in there in the first place. Stop it! Are you serious? My gosh! Well, we got to be fair to everyone. Really? I'll talk to you about fairness. This country was founded on fairness for people, and I'm going to get into some history, and you're going to be like, really? I never knew that. Because this is a great nation. This is a great country. God bless America. God bless the United States. God bless Michigan. You don't have to serve God, but God is the foundation of this country. Whether you like it or not, He is the foundation. I'm not talking about any God. I'm talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit of God that had our founding fathers line up and put out the Declaration and the Constitution. It was by the power of God that made that happen. It was a prophetic voice of this nation, and it hasn't changed. But it's slipping away little by little because the church is quiet. Because we're silent, we're not speaking up. It's time to fight. It's time to fight. The day after, you may remember this, the day after last week's message, last week I said that there are governments that are shutting down churches. The day after last week's message, the governor, Governor Cuomo of New York City, shut down the city and said if the churches do not comply, that he will shut them down. If they don't comply with the rules, he will shut them down. And when the governor of New York City, Governor Cuomo, was questioned, look it up for yourselves, guys. Be faithful Bereans so that I'm not, so you want to fact check me? Fact check me, okay? All right, let's get the facts right. This is what he said. What I will do is I will put Department of Public Health task force officials in front of churches. If the church had 150 people as a congregation, as soon as it hit 75, we would shut the doors. And if they had a problem with it, then they could call the state police, and the state police would then take care of the people in the church that had a problem with it. Let me tell you something. I know you guys, and you guys work hard, and you work to get yourselves to church, right? Here's the problem with this. When you impose a restriction on who can come into the church, you, with little kids especially, are you going to get up in the morning on the possibility that you can get there in time to get in the building? No, you're probably just going to stay home. So effectively, what it does is it shuts the church down because many will just stay at home and not even try to come in. But it gets better or worse. I can't make this stuff up, guys. I can't make this up. Now, listen, when you shut the church down, this goes against the First Amendment, our freedom to assemble, to peaceably assemble. That's part of the First Amendment, right? Freedom of religion is also part of the First Amendment. Freedom of speech is also part of the First Amendment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, the mayor of New York City, de Blasio, this is what he says. Because they were shutting the city down and they're putting restrictions on churches and they'll close those doors if they don't comply, he was asked what the mayor was asked what he thought about the protests that are going on. And this is what he said. Well, that's hard to answer because it's a historical movement. Churches in New York City, the mayor said that there's a historical movement going on with protest. Churches, you will be shut down, but the protests are okay. So here's what the churches, you guys need to do. You need to assemble on Sunday morning and have a protest. You need to protest the anti-God and the anti-Christ sentiment. You need to protest the restriction of the First Amendment, which is our Constitution, which is founded. So you just get together. But in that protest, I know you're going to lift Jesus up. And I know that answers are going to be heard. But there, see, at some point in time, you got to have a voice. You want to shut the church down? We'll just have a protest. Because they're not shutting the protest down. It'll be a peaceable protest. And we're going to worship God. And we're going to sing out loud. We're not going to be silenced in our worship. We've given a voice for a reason. All because I'm fired up. All because people are afraid of catching a cold. Now, I'm not downplaying COVID. I know COVID's real. But it's not a death sentence. It's not a death sentence. The CDC has even shown that only 6% of those who have been infected died that were specifically COVID-related. The 94% other, this is from the CDC, look it up. The other 94% had comorbid diagnoses that went along with it. But we shut a country down. We shut the Constitution down. I know that we can do things and we can have precautions. That's fine. I get that. This message isn't about COVID, but it is about our right. It is about our freedoms. If you want to catch COVID, catch it. You have the right to do that. Just saying. It's kind of quiet in here right now because this is a very serious point. I know it is. And I pray for those. I pray that we don't catch it. And I pray for those who have lost somebody. I do. I'm empathetic and sympathetic with that. But people are dying with all kinds of things. And we're not shutting the country down. On May 22nd, 2020, President Trump deemed all churches, synagogues, mosques, and temples essential. May 22nd, 2020, the president deemed all churches, synagogues, mosques, and temples essential. Yes. Our president of the United States said that in this time of pandemic and turmoil, we need more prayer now than ever. We need prayer more now than ever. Church, you're important. You're essential. You're needed in all facets. But you're also needed to stand on the word. You're needed to stand on the word. Amen. Take it back. These are the same governors that say all lives matter. We're doing these things because every life matters. You'll hear our governors say that over and over again. But these are the same governors that say also trust the science. But they are the ones that keep the abortion clinics open while not allowing you to go to the dentist or have elective surgery. And so, well, Pastor Mike, you can go to the dentist now and have elective surgery. But in the beginning, you couldn't, but you could get an abortion. If all lives matter, but you can get an abortion, that's an oxymoron to me. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't, there's no justification to it. How do you justify that? I don't know. I don't know how you justify it. But the people that are making the laws are the ones that we put into office. So you can be silent or you can vote wrong. Take it back. 16 states have firm protection for babies that in the abortion attempt are born alive. 16 states out of 50 will protect the baby that was born alive in an abortion attempt. Only 16. There are 300 reported cases. Now, there's more, I'm sure, that are unreported. But there's 300 reported cases of babies in the attempt of an abortion that were born alive that were left to die. You see, there's a slippery slope. Remember I said, even if you believe abortion, if you feel abortion's right as a Christian, I don't get it, but if you do, you've got to readjust your thinking. You have to readjust how you're thinking. Because it's not taking a woman's right away. It's giving a right to a baby. There's a difference. The cell on my skin that dies off every day is totally different than the cell that makes a baby. But we don't talk about it and we shun it. And because of the slippery slope, now they're pushing for agendas to allow babies to be born and just the parent to decide. I shouldn't even say parent. Parent's not the right word. They're allowing the birth person, giver, because they're not a mother either, or father in the picture. They're allowing them to just say, let the baby die. Now, I don't know of any state that is allowing that. I've heard that, but I'm not sure. So you can, again, fact check me on things. I'm not saying that, but I know that's in the books to try and make that law. How do you write that off? Listen, the people that are making these rules are the ruling officials governing this nation. If you are voting for somebody that is for that, even if you're not for it, but you vote for them, you're a part of it. You're a part of it. Well, I don't believe in abortion, but I want this guy or girl to be in. But the morality that they stand for is sickening. It's wrong. And if you're a Christian, I'm calling you out. If you're a Christian, then you need to vote with some morals, moral absolutes, and not based on your feelings. Take it back. Same-sex marriage. You can't watch a show now without a gay scene. I don't hate gay people. People will say that because I'm talking about it. I don't hate them. But gay marriage isn't biblical marriage. Period. That's the bottom line. But here, because it's been allowed, now it's in your face. Everywhere. Everywhere. Okay? But it gets deeper. Public schools, and you can fact check me on this. Public schools are now teaching about anal and oral sex. And you're like, oh my gosh, really? Well, I'm educating you. I'm educating you. Hopefully you're getting some education. Your children that go to school are being taught about anal and oral sex instead of abstinence. Why aren't they being taught about abstinence? Because there's no prayer in school. They took God out of school. There's no Ten Commandments on the wall. There's no moral absolute. Do we have jaw drops? I mean, think about this, guys. You know, if you don't want to get pregnant, you just have oral sex and anal sex. That's wrong. That's not good. But because there was a loud minority group that spoke up, we now have in law for some things that have changed this nation for who knows how long. Until you guys, the church, take it back. Take it back. TED Talks. Anybody heard of TED Talks? TEDx Talks? TED Talks, you can YouTube it or whatever. They're supposed to be a symposium of very intelligent individuals that speak at these talks, right? TED Talks are now, there are people that are on there that are trying to normalize pedophilia. Well, you see, but you allow same-sex marriage, why can't we allow somebody to marry somebody that is underage? Why can't we allow that? Matter of fact, let's go a step further. Why can't we allow bestiality? Sex with an animal. Why not? And some of you are going, oh, Pastor Mike, you're way far. You're over the top. No, I'm not. Some would have said it. I never in my life could imagine that the same sex could get married. But it's happening because the silent majority was silent. Or the silent majority voted based on feelings and not based on morality. Take it back. The word take it back basically for me means restoration. Restoration in the Bible is synonymous with healing, repairing, and returning to a previous state of being. Listen, you will not have to protest at abortion clinics if the governing authorities are godly. Yes, sir. You wouldn't have to go to an abortion clinic to protest if the church would have put somebody in office that had morals. But because we're not speaking up, because we're silent, we have people in office that are making rules. The legislative branch is making rules. They're making laws. Executive branch is saying okay, and the judicial branch is studying it, looking up, seeing if it's with the Constitution, and then upholding it. Not anymore. Take it back. Take it back. Psalms 51:12 says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Don't ever let someone make you feel less than because you say, God bless you or Merry Christmas. See, I really, this came to me this week. I thought, you know what? There's a lot of Christians out there that are afraid to say God bless you to somebody because they're afraid they're going to offend somebody. You guys heard the story, you know, I mean, the talk. It's been all around about don't say Merry Christmas. It's Xmas or it's Happy Holidays or whatever the case may be. And we know that Xmas means Christ, and we know that holiday comes from Holy Day, right? But the thing is it's anti-God. Matter of fact, it's anti-Christ, that sentiment. But this is a Christian nation. This, you're the majority. Don't let the minority shut you up. You have all the right in the world to say God bless you. You have all the right in the world to say Merry Christmas, regardless of what somebody says. Freedom of speech, First Amendment. Freedom of religion, First Amendment. You have that right. Don't worry about stepping on somebody's toes. Thank God we live in a Christian nation where you have that right. We want to call it politically correct. But whose politics? Don't speak like that. It's not politically correct. Whose politics? The ungodly. We're concerned about the ungodly politics versus the godly politics. Again, the church would not have these struggles in America if the church would have spoke up. Take it back. Amen. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. There are people in the church that are double-minded. The Bible says that in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. There are people that say, I'm against abortion, but put somebody in office that is for abortion. That's double-minded, and you're unstable. It's time to get some stability in your life. It's time to bring it back to what the Word says and not what your heart and feelings say. You have to get it right. President Woodrow Wilson said this, we are trying to do a futile thing if we don't know where we have come from or what we have been about. This Christian nation, the United States of America, listen to me, has forgot where it came from. The Bible tells us never to forget our first love. This country was founded on the love of God, and it's forgot where it came from. Take it back. Take it back. It's time to get real. It's time to get right. Ephesians 1, 21 through 23, this is our God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. God is the head to us, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You're full of God. We constantly, Pastor, we're up here and we talk about you have God in you. The presence of God is around you. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit itself, lives in you. But when we do things that are very, very important for this country, we totally nullify the Spirit of God. Because I bet if you ask God, is killing babies right, he would tell you no. Ask him. Matter of fact, I wrote down, killing babies and same-sex marriage is not a virtue. You see, Jesus filled the church with his own life and character. We are a receptacle containing graces and virtues of God himself. But when we do things that are anti-Christ, we're not fulfilling any of the virtues, which is showing a high moral standard. You have the virtue of God in you, high moral standard. But we don't stand on that standard because we don't like somebody. I don't like what they did 30 years ago. That's called unforgiveness. And don't we talk about forgiveness, finding forgiveness, working through that? David Barton, if you have never heard of David Barton, if you have never listened to David Barton is a historian, a Christian historian on how this country was founded. A lot of what I'm sharing, I got and gleaned from his research. absolutely fascinating seeing how this country, I've always been a patriot and love this country, but I have a newfound love for my Christian life in this country because that's how it was formed. He stated that 45%, you got to hear this, 45% of evangelicals, that's us, Christians, who voted recently said economics were more important than morals. 45% of the church said economics was more important than morals. Have you forgot where you came from? National leaders are judged not by character or leadership, but by the success of the economy. Unemployment, Dow Jones. Money. Doesn't the Bible say that the love for money is the root of all evil? That's what the Bible says. Doesn't say money is, it says the love of money. So when you have money over your morals, there's an issue. That's a problem as a Christian. I don't care anybody else. I'm only addressing Christians. That's a problem. If the almighty dollar is more important than you, than the morals. In the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, this is what happened. This is why there was a change. In the 1920s and 30s and 40s, our history books were changed to put an emphasis on economics, known as the economic approach to American history. If I was to ask you, why did we go to war with Britain, the Revolutionary War, back in the 1700s, people would say, because of, somebody give me an answer. Why did we go to war with Britain? Who said it? Be free of taxes. Right. This is what we're taught. We're taught because of taxation without representation. That's what we're taught. Why are we taught that reason? We're taught that reason because in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, new teachers came in and rewrote the history books based on economics instead of the bigger picture. There's 27 grievances why we went to war with Britain. Number 17 is taxation without representation. One instance. But that's all we know as Americans, and it's been a blinded eye. And that's why 45% of evangelicals are worried about money versus morals. We've got to get back, because I'm going to open your eyes to some things. That was only one grievance. Here are some other ones. Suppression of immigration. That's why we went to war. Interference with foreign trade. That's why we went to war. This is a godly nation. 7 times abuse of military powers. 11 times about abuse of representative powers. 4 times about abuse of judicial powers. That's why we have 3 branches. 2 times there was stirring up of domestic insurrection or a violent uprising against authorities or government. This is why we went to war. The 26 other reasons why we went. Because King George III was an evil ruler. He wasn't good. And so we were trying to separate from that. You see, we were under his rule prior to 1776. Because whoever the governing authority is who rules you. All the more reason to understand why the church is so important in the state. Because our governing authority is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And the state is going to go how the church says, as long as we're governed correctly. In 1774, this is, you guys need to hear this, put your ears on. This was news to me. In 1774, many wanted slavery abolished. We only hear about that during the Civil War. Sad thing is there's kids nowadays in school don't even know what the Civil War was. That's sad, but it's not being taught. So it needs to be heard in church. They wanted the slavery abolished, but King George III did not want it because of the commerce, the economic bounty that it brought. 1776. In 1776, when we got our independence from England, when we won our independence in battle, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, New York, and others freed slaves. In 1776, this Judeo-Christian country never wanted slavery in it. But we put people in power that wanted that. And so it started to come back. We've been fighting the wrong people all along. The church has been fighting the church, and Satan loves it. We say today that the Bible is important in every area. Give me a hand. Who agrees that the Bible is important in every area? Important in every area. Every area of life, it's important. But back then, they proved it. You know that song, Are You Free? Prove It. Back then, they proved that it was important in every area of life. Right now, we may believe, but we're not proving it. If you're voting for somebody that is for killing the innocent, then you're not proving your Christian faith and your walk with God. You're proving the opposite. I don't know if I could say it any clearer. Take it back. The Liberty Bell rang out July 8, 1776, declaring our independence. Not July 4th, but on July 8th. I don't know why. Many believe the Liberty Bell is called that because it rang out for our independence. I always thought the Liberty Bell rang because it was for our independence. Some of you are probably going, what's the Liberty Bell? Anyways, it's the bell that has the crack. It's famous, right? But it's not called the Liberty Bell because it rang out for our freedom. It's called the Liberty Bell because of the scripture that's engraved on it. The Liberty Bell is called the Liberty Bell because of the scripture engraved on it, which is Leviticus 25:10. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. That is what was rang in our freedom, in our independence. But we're losing that. A little bit of history, and I'll be getting you out of here shortly. In 1811, New York Supreme Court stated, whatever strikes at the root of Christianity tends manifestly to the dissolution of civil government. In other words, whatever strikes at the word of God is going to mess government up. And we see it happening all the time. And we see people in politics that say, I believe in God, but yet they stand for something completely different. So I believe we know a tree by its fruit. That's what Scripture says. You know a tree by its fruit. If it's bad fruit, it's not good. Who wants to eat bad fruit? Don't buy the lie anymore. Come on, people. In 1892, the Supreme Court said, Christian principles must remain the basis for American laws and institutions. In 1892 also, the then 44 states in the Union had some type of God-centered declaration in its constitution. But here's how far we come. Because prayer was taken out of school in 1962, in 1963, a psychologist's testimony says this, if portions of the New Testament were read without explanation, they could be and had been psychologically harmful to child. So you got founding fathers who fought for the independence of this nation based on Judeo-Christian principles, the Word of God, and the Supreme Court of the old who were standing for the things of God, and then a psychologist comes in. Well, you know, it could be harmful if they don't know about what the New Testament says. Here's a novel idea. Teach them. Teach them. Let them be their own teacher. Let them look it up themselves. Let them be curious. Well, what does that really mean? The founders relied on the Bible in education. Early textbooks quoted the Bible. Congress printed the first English language Bible for our schools. Congress did. Previous Supreme Courts ruled that government-run schools would teach the Bible. Let me say that again. Government-run schools would teach the Bible. The U.S. Constitution in 1854 had the people, the founding fathers, they said this, had the people during the Revolution, if they had a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. At the time of the adoption of the Constitution and the amendments, the universal sentiment was that. The universal sentiment was if anything was going to come against Christianity in this nation, it would have been cut off. It would have been stopped. Take it back. How? Vote biblically. Vote for life. I close with a quote from George Washington. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars. George Washington. Trump 2020. Let's close in prayer. And John James. Father, I know what I speak right now to be the facts of this nation and the truth. And Lord, I know that there are ears that don't want to hear it. Father, I pray that blinders may be removed from the church. Lord, that we may see clearly, that we would have a moral conscience, that we would know the importance of family values, that we would know the importance of the Constitution and what makes this country free, that we would know the importance of religious freedom and protection of those who are innocent. Father, the innocent have no voice. I pray that we may be that voice. I pray, Father, for change. I pray for an awakening to take place in the church here in the United States of America, here in Michigan, here in Saginaw Valley. Father, we love you and we thank you. I pray, God, for those that may not know you. I pray that they would come to know you and see the truth. Father, I pray that you would comfort each person, that you would protect every family that's here, those that are listening. Father, that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, the altars are open. God bless you.